Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, a little of the new song by the Gen Songs band called I'm Not in Denial. This is the Two Scotts podcast. Scott E. Jensen and Scott I. Ross of Gen Songs. You can get us on our website at gensongs.net. That's gensongs.net. And our phone number, 818-538-8490. Scott E. Jensen, the I'm Not in Denial sounding real good. What do you think?
Thank you, Scott. How are you doing, Scott I. Ross?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm doing real good, but I kind of feel like I might – I feel like I'm really not in denial, even though you keep telling me I'm in denial. And I kind of feel like that song reminds me of it because I feel like you're telling me lately we've been talking about my problems and, you know, what do I have to do to have a happy life again and everything.
Right.
Because
right.
I kind of feel like, you know, I had success and I had a family and I had everything and now I don't anymore, so it's the feel sorry for yourself kind of guy. But I can't, you said I was in denial about my feelings, right?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of us are in denial about our feelings, it seems.
Well, my feeling, I thought about it all night, and I really feel like I'm not in denial, okay? That's kind of how I feel, you know, you're singing, I don't know if I can trust you, and I kind of feel like I thought of everything you told me about, you know, what's wrong with me.
Right.
But I feel like you said I'm of my problems.
I may have at some point.
Yeah, okay, well, you got to go along with the bits because they go a lot better when you kind of go along with them, you know?
I know that's what I'm trying to do.
You know, you don't forget that, okay? You got to switch.
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
You have to switch today from a performing artist because you played two festivals over the weekend in the Chicago area, all our original Gen Songs band stuff, but now you got to be the radio host guy, so, you know, you got to just go with it. So you've been telling me for years that I'm in denial and I don't really admit all my problems. For years, not just maybe. You've been telling me, you know, for 40 years.
Yes.
And you said if I would just admit my problems and not be in denial, I could be a better person and everything, right?
Yes.
Well, my problem is I don't feel I'm in denial. I feel like I'm not in denial.
It's like you're in denial that you're in denial.
Yeah, that's how I feel, okay? And I feel like, okay, I know everybody has to admit their problems. I've been to meetings. I've been to all these things. But I kind of feel like, well, I don't think I'm in denial, okay? And so what's
pretty clear to me.
You know, it might be because this song started, everybody, I'm Not in Denial, at the website, gensongs.net. You can call us at 818-538-8490. If you want to email us right now, it's turnkeyselling@gmail.com, turnkeyselling@gmail.com. You'll find it on the website if you're on it now. If you're listening to the podcast right now on the website, then you might want to wait till it's over or pause it before you switch pages. Now, this I'm Not in Denial conversation started about 6 months ago with us, right?
Yes.
I mean, for the 100th time since we've been small, you know, 14, 15 years old. But I started thinking, and then I started saying stuff back to you. Then I turned it around, right? And I started telling you your problems, and I said you're in denial about your problems, right?
Yes, you did.
So we went through this whole thing that I'm telling Scotty Jensen what I think all his problems are. Scotty Jensen's telling me what he thinks all my problems are, right?
Yeah.
And then that's where this thing I started thinking, and that's how we kind of write our songs. I started thinking about our conversations. And then all of a sudden I thought, hey, wait a minute. At first, Scott, I wrote it from your point of view. I wrote it from the point of view to start that you felt you're not in denial about your problems. So talk about you. In other words, are you in denial of your problems? Do you feel you're not in denial? No, seriously, that's what I did, was I turned it around. So it's really about you, but then again, mirrored back to me. So do you think...
You know, when I first, you know, heard your MP3 idea, at first I thought it was about me, and then the more I listened to it, the more it seemed like it was you talking about you. So I was having a hard time trying to figure out whether you were, you know, insinuating it was me or that you were actually talking about yourself. So I tried to intertwine both ideas into the one song.
Right. And
you know,
for those of you who want to, for those of you,
like it's,
yeah,
you know, instead of making it sound like it's just Scott Ross or Scott Jensen complaining about each other or themselves, I wanted it to be a little more general, as though somebody, their wives are talking to them, or they're having a conversation with somebody, their spouse doesn't understand them, and just the total confusion that somebody can be in. So that's how I kind of took it from there.
And for those of you who want to know, the way we do these songs is very interesting. Scott and I, it all comes from our conversations, emails, and our phone conversations. And so what I do then is I get on the recording, and at first I write a whole story in my head, like in this particular case about I'm in denial from my point of view, Scott's point of view, and he says from anybody's point of view. Then I come up with a melody for the chorus, a melody for the verses, and then I give Scott a really basic bare-bones tape of me trying to sing, because I don't sing like he does, what I just wrote, and I tell him the whole story. Then it goes to him, folks, and then he does everything else, okay? I mean, he takes it.
Well, the interesting thing, too, I find, Scott, is that the majority of the time, you come up with the chorus. Like, I'm not in denial. You know, that whole thing is pretty much you. And then I kind of, like in that particular song, the chorus was really you. And then the verse was kind of, you know,
yeah, that was all you. The verse was all you. What I come up with, everybody, for Scott, I come up with the story. That I will say about me, all right? Scott does most of the work, and he's the talent and everything. But I write differently. I come up with a story, like a movie or a little book or a TV show, before I even know what the chorus might be, right? So I'm giving Scott, he doesn't have to worry about thinking about the story. He doesn't have to worry thinking about what it's about. But he has to take what I do and fill in all the words, fix what I did wrong, play all the instruments, sing it, record it, mix it down. So you do all that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think what works for you and I is a lot of times you'll give me just something to start with, you know, a subject, you know, and then that gets my creative juices going and I start, oh, okay, well, I could go with this, you know. The hardest thing I think for most songwriters is just trying to come up with a subject right off the bat.
Right.
And the thing that helps quite a bit is you coming up with a subject or whatever little twist, like, you know, disagree to agree instead of agree to disagree kind of
thing.
Just having a little twist on things, looking at things a little differently, which you've always looked at things a little differently since I've known you, which is what always kind of attracted me to being friends with you, because I didn't like just being with people that were just so typical and normal. You know,
well, I just got an email.
So
wait, I just got an email.
Different that I always thought you were quite interesting in that respect.
I just got an email saying, "Isn't Scott E. Jensen sharp? You asked him a question about denial. He won't answer it. Please answer the question." Okay, what this person is saying, and their email address is Travel Inquiry. They must be a travel agency or work at a travel agency. They said, "Scott E. Jensen, are you in denial about your problems, or do you feel, hey, I'm not in denial about my problems?" You didn't answer. Scotty Jensen, the master of disaster, the master of not answering questions, the typical rock star who's been interviewed over and over and over again, who knows how to, a la Paul McCartney and John Lennon, if you don't know who that is from the Beatles many years ago, you would ask them a question and they could definitely, Scotty Jensen, are you in denial about your problems? Or do you feel, hey, I'm not in denial?
Well, you know, I think it's a very interesting question the way you ask that. As a matter of fact, I didn't realize I was in a therapy session. But at the same time, you know, we have songs on our website at gensongs.net that explain all these different kinds of feelings and insecurities and whether somebody's in denial or not. Like the brand new song we have, I'm Not in Denial. I mean, you should really check that out, everybody. I mean, it's written for everybody to kind of relate to.
Okay, but Scotty Jensen, you're not answering the question. Are you in denial about...
Don't you get what I'm doing? I mean, you got to go with me. This is what you've told
me. I know, but listen.
Interviews, I have to kind of just take it where I want it to go.
That's
right?
True. That is true. That is true.
And that's what I'm doing here.
So
like,
all I can do... Right, and then if I'm an interviewer, I might keep trying to ask the question, and you exactly. You're right, Scott. I mean, you got to do whatever you want. In this particular case, though, since you were the inspiration of the song, I'm trying to let people know, I thought at the time that you were like, hey, man, I'm not in denial of my problems. Scott Ross, you're in denial of your problems. And I'm like, which are you? Are you in denial of your problems, or are you not in denial of your problems? Which is it?
I would say that since I like to do a lot of soul searching, that I'm not in denial. So the song kind of fits me, yeah.
What's interesting, I just got an email. Scotty Jensen, it kind of sounds when you're singing there that you feel you're not in denial. Now, that's the exact opposite of what you just said. So now, I've got documented proof. I've got a copyrighted song here.
I'm sure it's in print already, what I said. Yeah, somebody grab the teleprompter and check it out and see see what I just said.
Well, Scotty Jensen, now talking to our associate producer back in the studio. Let's bring him in, Scott. You're right. Scotty Jensen's yelling at our producer, Jimmy Olsen. Easy on Jimmy. Not Jimmy Olsen. I always call him Jimmy Olsen, like from.
That's because of his girlfriend Sue Olsen. That's why.
Oh, okay, Sue Olsen and
mixed up.
And what's Jimmy's last name again?
Holt.
Jimmy Holt. Our crack.
Your horses.
He's our crack. All right, go ahead. Well, Scotty Jensen, the only thing I'm saying is I just got an email and they're like, well, Scotty Jensen's saying he does not feel he feels like he's not in denial, but then on your songs you're going, I'm not in denial no matter what you say. I'm not in denial to what you do. Now, which is it, Scott? The guy singing the song or are you on the phone right now?
You have to rephrase that question. It's kind of an obscure, abstract question.
All right. Well, the song says, I'm not in denial no matter what you say. I'm not in denial to what you do. Then it says, I'm not in denial no matter what I say. I'm not in denial for what I do. Now, you being the singer and the main talent of this whole thing, you're basically saying to the whole world, hey, I'm not in denial. I'm not in denial. So which is it?
Correct. Yeah.
Next question. Scotty Jensen.
The next question is?
The next question is, the song itself is about... looking at yourself in the mirror and going, okay, do I have problems? Am I denying that I have problems? That's called denial, right?
Right.
But I'm not in denial means that I
means
think...
you know who you are.
Yeah.
And
I'm not
you could do your own soul searching and know what you need to work on yourself.
Right. So I'm not in denial means I accept all the things that are really wrong with me and I understand that. The song is basically...
The interesting about the song, Scott, is there's kind of a little twist in there where the character is saying, I'm not in denial to what my problems are or know that I have my own issues or whatever, but it doesn't necessarily mean I agree with what you say.
That's right.
My issues
that's
are.
Right. Well, now,
and that's the part I think is kind of interesting in that song because it's kind of
that's true. A
double negative or a double positive.
Now, we've got fans now in the Philippines. We've sold albums in Japan. A couple of other countries, and we now are starting to get a lot of people in the Philippines, especially girls listening to our music. I'm getting girls now sending in their pictures, Scott, with a thumbs up. They're holding up the website on their laptop, and they're with them standing next to it going thumbs up. So we're starting to get some worldwide recognition, which is what we kind of went into this whole thing for with the internet, why our songs are album downloads. They're only $9.99 for a whole album download. So anyone right. in the world can listen to our stuff on a website and then order it immediately and have it in their laptop, have it in their iPad or whatever. So you're getting the thumbs up, Scott, from all over the world right now.
Well, that's our Gen Songs fans. They're growing. That's great. We love that.
So I just got one that says, I love the song I'm Always Waiting. I love the song In the Middle of Persecution. Another one. So, you know, people are realizing that even though they never heard of us before, they don't know who the hell the Gen Songs band is, Scotty Jensen, Scott I. Ross, they're starting to realize that we have four albums of over 40 songs that are all brand new original music. Talk about that a minute.
Well, that's true. And as a matter of fact, last night, as Scott I. Ross did mention earlier, is that I had played a showcase concert. A lot of original musicians up on stage. It's a real nice concert hall in Palatine, Illinois. And I played probably about 40 minutes of original material, which I've never really played them out before. So it was the first time actually performing, showcasing these songs on acoustic guitar. And some of the songs that I did perform was Middle of Persecution. I did I'm Always Waiting. I did Last 5 Days, Next 5 Days. And quite a few others, too. I can't even think of all of them off the top of my head right now. But it was very cool. Just me. I mean, just a solo guy. I didn't have any other musicians backing me up or anything.
How did the people like it? How did people like it?
Oh, they did. They did. And
plus, folks, so you know, it was a tough...
that I know.
It was a tough crowd because it was one of these Lollapalooza, Music Palooza outdoor festivals, so a lot of the audience were musicians and singers themselves. So that's a tough crowd.
Yeah, and a lot of musicians and some recording artists that were actually there. I got a thumbs up from a few of those, which was very cool. You know, some people I've looked up to musically over the years that have had some really, you know, good albums in the past. And so getting that thumbs up from him was pretty cool, too, you know.
Now, did it trigger any kind of latent homosexual feeling when you got that thumbs up?
No, because I'm not homophobic or nothing, you know.
Oh, that's good.
You know. That's politically incorrect or politically correct. I'm not even sure what the correct terminology is.
Now, Scotty Jensen, he supports a cause we talked about last time, okay? It's called FSS. Now, Scotty Jensen's one of only about, I don't know, something like 10 or 15 people in the world who have FSS. It's very dear to his heart. We talked about it before, Scott. Fetal singing syndrome. Now, FSS is when you're in your mother's womb like Scott was, and literally within weeks or a month after you're conceived, you are literally singing in your mind, and then your mother started singing with you, right? And you learned how to do harmonies and everything before you actually came out and you were born.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we've got a lot.
I was trying to do harmonies to, you know, my mother's sound of her bodily functions, you know.
Oh, well, that's
so, trying
that's
to sing along, you know, with that, too. But, you know, it was a little easier after.
Oh, I got to write that down. Scotty Jensen's always giving me songs. Bodily Functions, the next tune. That's a good one. Let me write that down. So, Scotty Jensen, people want to know, what did it feel like when you were born? Were you conscious that you could sing, or are you such a little baby that you don't really know what it is at the time? You know what I mean?
I'm sorry. The phone was breaking up. I couldn't even hear what the question was.
People want to know, like, when you were born right away, were you conscious that you could sing, or are you such a little baby that you didn't really even know what you were doing? You just knew that in your mind you were singing with your mom.
I just knew. I had singing going on in my head, like, you know, I mentioned, even before I was born. So after I was born, it was the same thing.
Now, if you
want
to...
I actually cried on key when the doctor slapped my butt, you know. I was crying in key.
So what you're saying is the very first sound you made, you knew enough to cry in a certain note, stay on that note and that key the whole time you were crying.
I believe so. I believe it was a high C that I was actually singing at the time.
I was
crying in a high C.
Okay, now people want to know, okay, it sounds like FSS, fetal singing syndrome, is all positive, so what's the problem? Well, the problem is this, folks. When you're born, and Scott can talk about this, with FSS, fetal singing syndrome, well, your whole life really becomes everything you hear, everybody who talks to you and you say, you hear it more singing, so it does cause some problems.
Right. Well, and the other thing sometimes is it's almost impossible to turn it off in my mind. Where there's times where I can control it where I don't necessarily start singing, but if I am at a place where somebody's singing and they're like really out of key or something like that, I mean, I feel like bursting out like in that Tourette syndrome, but
right.
in you know, yelling out in musical notes or singing the correct note for the guy or something,
right.
you know? So sometimes it could be kind of embarrassing and frustrating. Like I mentioned, you know, it's not appropriate sometimes to burst out singing at like a funeral mass when, you know, they're, you know, talking about how, you know, things that this person meant to them.
Right, right. Well, now people are you know, asking and they're emailing us, tweeting us. We just got a tweet from Tweet This. And what they want to know, Scott, is like, you know, with FSS, fetal singing syndrome, what can they do? How can they help support? And the best way you can support now would be to listen to our show like you're doing now, tell people about gensongs.net, the website, gensongs.net, gensongs.net. Let people know about it. 818-538-8490 is our number. Leave us a voicemail. We'll put it on the air if you give us permission. And I think just support us by, you know, check out our music. And, of course, if you like it, buy as many album downloads. They're only $9.99. Scott, I think that would be the best way to support you, right, with FSS, because we don't want to compare it to serious illnesses and serious, you know, problems, right? Well, Scotty Jensen seems to have drifted.
No, I'm here, but your voice, the phone just kind of faded off, and I thought I lost the connection, but you're back.
In other words, we don't want people to think that, you know, we're comparing FSS with serious diseases and problems people have, right?
Right, because it's not, you know, a health issue. It's more of a communication kind of issue and an etiquette issue, you know?
Yeah, but it is
the right time to do certain things, you know?
But it is something that we want to talk about because we're the only show we can think of in the world that's talking about FSS. And fetal singing syndrome, who knows how many of the good singers and people out there had that, Scott, and they don't even know. They've been undiagnosed their whole life.
Well, you know, my mother had told me that both my sister and my brother both had the same syndrome, too, because they were both able to sing before they were able to talk as well.
Really?
So. Yeah, that's kind of a symptom as well, you know.
Well, what's interesting about,
born.
You know, if you look at Paul McCartney, of course, the love of his life died, his first wife, Linda McCartney. Now, since then, he's been getting married. He'll marry a chick with one leg. He'll marry a chick who can't talk. He'll marry anybody, basically. And it could be now, later on in his life, that FSS is showing itself, you see?
Right.
Well, so
there was a rumor for a while that he was dating a woman that had three legs.
Well, that could be because you know? I could see where he's coming from. Paul McCartney's attitude is, hey, man, I don't care about, you know, if you had a problem or if you're missing a leg like his one wife or whatever. But I think he's starting to realize if he can't sing with them, if he can't harmonize with them, which he did with Linda McCartney, if you listen to the band Wings, you will hear his wife, Linda McCartney, singing harmony all through all of his songs.
Right. Well, I think he basically taught her how to sing, but she might have had FSS at a young age, excuse me, and didn't know it.
So I'm not sure McCartney even knows it. I'm going to try to keep emailing him to see if we can get through to him because he may be going woman after woman. He's got to find, in my opinion, another woman with FSS, and then I think he'll be fine. So all you single women out there, if you don't know who Paul McCartney is, he is still singing today, the lead singer, writer of the Beatles.
Paul McCartney is married, though. He married a woman.
I know, but if she doesn't have FSS, I'm saying I don't think it'll last.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that could possibly be. Yeah.
And so if you don't know who – remember, Scott, we got to talk to people like they don't know who the Beatles are because some young people don't. So the Beatles were a band back in the 70s. You can check them out, Paul McCartney. He's still playing today.
60s, actually.
They started in the 60s, right? That's right. They broke up by like 74. They were done. And so what's interesting about FSS is it's something we want to bring to people's attention. There are many positive things about it, obviously. Connection with your mother, very strong. If you want to listen to Connection with Scott Jensen's mother, listen to the song Carol on album Jen Songs 4, Carol.
I actually touched on the FSS on that song because I said that I was able to sing before I could talk, which was true. And that's a symptom of the FSS.
That's a symptom of the – so Carol is a really emotional song about Scott's mom. He dedicated it for all our moms, but it's really – Carol is about his mother who passed on, unfortunately. And I remember his mother many, many years ago because I was this young 14-year-old kid, and I kept knocking on Scott Jensen's door like on a Saturday morning like 8 times every hour because Scott was always –
By the way, I did that song last night too.
How'd it go?
It went good, yeah. I'm always waiting.
The song I'm Always Waiting came from me. I'm 14 years old, and I met Scott Jensen, and he's a couple years older, and he was already playing in bands. So I go over to his house when I was off school, like on a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. I'd start knocking on his window. He wouldn't answer because he was already playing gigs on Friday and Saturday nights to 3 or 4 in the morning. So he was sleeping.
Right.
So I would knock on the door about every hour. Scott up yet? No, not yet. Scott up yet? No, not yet. And every time your mom would just come to the door, she'd answer it. She'd be nice. And she'd be like, hey, man, if you want to go. She wouldn't say, hey, man. She'd say, if you want to go in there and try to wake him up, you can. She says, but he's like waking up an angry dog.
I mean, it's only 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know,
by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, then I might go in there. But I'd be knocking on Scott Jensen's window, literally knocking on his window, and he wouldn't even answer. Every Saturday, every Sunday, for years, I would knock on his window. He would never answer it. It wouldn't matter whether he heard it or not. Okay.
You know, I told that story last night before I did that song.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. And I said when you were about 14 years old, I said I was up till 4 in the morning. You'd be there knocking on my window from 8 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, hoping I was going to wake up. And I said, you know, and I was sleeping until 4 in the afternoon. So.
You told the story of how it went?
Yeah. And then I did the song, which I hear in the background there.
Knocked on your window at 8 a.m. on a Saturday. I wait for you to come out all day long. You never came to the window. You never came and looked at me. I knocked on your window on a Saturday morning.
Now, if you hear the words there, did you hear it, Scott? I knocked on your window.
Right, knocked on your window.
This, again, is a true story of me knocking on his window.
I know.
So Scott and I would talk about it. Then my mind starts going. So in my mind, I write the song. I picture how I felt knocking on his window. I was lonely. There was no cell phones back then, no pagers. I didn't have a car. I would literally be standing there freezing sometimes.
Facebook.
And in those days, I only weighed 90 pounds.
Right.
And I was freezing. And the song comes from saying, hey, I knocked on your window at 8 a.m. on a Saturday. You got to listen to the song. And then it goes into this part, which is really emotional. Listen to this.
You answer me. I'm always waiting for you. I'm always waiting for you.
Listen to the emotion in your voice. You hear it?
Right. Yeah.
Now, everybody, that's real emotion because it's my emotion. Then I give it to Scott. Then he puts his emotion on top of that, and it's real. And I've got a lot of comments, Scott, from I'm Always Waiting because everybody can relate somewhere in their life that they're always waiting for someone.
That's true.
You know what I mean? It could be a mother. It could be a father, a sister, a brother, a boss. Everybody knows what it feels like to always feel like they're waiting for this person to call them or text them, or they're waiting for this person to email them, and they never do. And so our songs are real in the sense that not only did they happen to us, but other people relate to them a lot because whatever happens to us has usually happened with other people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
well,
when you're
like
singing
that
song
– birth.
Go ahead.
Excuse me. That next verse is actually quite interesting, I think, too, because it reminds me, okay, here you are outside at 8 o'clock in the morning knocking on my window, and then I bring up about how you called me at like 4 o'clock in the morning one night during the week, and you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I would literally
call Scotty Jensen almost every day at 2, 3, 1 in the morning. It all depended. He'd answer to him, hello. I go, yeah, what are you doing? I'm sleeping. What do you think? Yeah, anyway, and then I'd go into some ideas of songs or something I wanted to do with him or, you know, whatever. And he'd be like, hey, Matt, I'm sleeping. And I'd say, well, why do you answer the phone? This is the 100th time I've called at 3 in the morning and you always tell me you're sleeping. Why don't you take the phone off the hook or unplug? And he goes, well, what if there's an emergency? I go, well, your family's in the next rooms next to you. They could just knock on your door if there's an emergency. And then he'd hang up.
Yeah, call me back later.
Yeah, then I'd call him back later. The next night.
10 minutes later.
It would be like, yeah. Hello? Yeah, what are you doing?
What time is it? Yeah, it's about 5 minutes after I called you.
Yeah. So I'd say,
what the hell are you calling me for at 4 in the morning for?
Right. And I'd say, if you don't want me calling you, why don't you unplug the phone or, turn the ringer off or whatever? And he'd go,
do you realize what time it is?
Yeah, but I'd say, he'd go, if there's an emergency, how would I know? And I go, your mother, father, sister, and brother are in the next room. If there's an emergency, they'll walk in your room. Then he'd hang up on me. And that's the true story, and that's where the song I'm Always Waiting comes from. It's real.
Actually, I was just thinking about when you moved to Africa, and I talked to you there, and there was a delay, like when we're talking to people in the Philippines or whatever. But I remember talking to you, and you had already picked up an accent.
Right.
It wasn't the Chicago accent.
Why don't you use that on a song?
Well, I was just going to say, interesting, one of the things you said to me, which I actually have it on tape somewhere, where you said, hey, man, where's all the jigs on a rainy day, I'm wondering? With that same exact kind of, hey, cheesy vibes.
Yeah, here's Scott Ross. Scott Ross at 17 years old in Johannesburg, South Africa. My father took over a business there to run, and we all went with him. And here I am after 6 months, I'm getting the accent down so I could either talk American or South African, depending on what the girls, wanted to hear.
Well, I remember when I called and said, hey, Scott, how you doing? Scott Jensen. He's like, who's it?
No, how's it? How's it?
Oh, yeah. It was, how's it? How's it?
Yeah. In South Africa, Australia, in Hawaii, in Tahiti, they how's it means hi, hello, how's it? How's it going?
I remember you saying, how's the weather? And I'm like, what? How's the weather?
Yeah, so Scott Jensen's got a tape. He's got a tape of me. If he can find it, we'll use the original recording.
Right.
Of me, I'm hitting him with a South African accent, and he's like, "Scott, you've only been gone 6 months. How can you have a South African accent?" Now, we were just talking to a girl named Glenda, and Glenda and I are talking, and hopefully Scott's trying to help us. That I'm going to go there and meet her, or she's going to come here, and who knows, maybe we can be together. But we were just talking on the phones in the Philippines, and I was thinking of the difference, Scott. Back when I called you from South Africa, it was $400 a minute or something.
Yeah, I know.
And now we're calling the Philippines for 15 cents a minute, and we're just talking we want to call people all over the world. So whether you live in Russia, Japan, China, wherever you live, whether you live in England, France, London, Canada, all over the United States, call us up, give us your number. We'll call you. We'll talk to you personally. Buy one of our albums. We will talk to you actually personally if you like. We'll record it if it's okay with you and use it on the air, or we won't. Right, Scott? We didn't record that conversation we just had with Glenda.
No. We could have asked her if she didn't mind, and we could have done that. But
well, I did. I already emailed her saying Scott Jensen wants to call now. Is that okay? And when she said okay, that's when I called her.
Oh, okay, good.
So we're an interesting
cut. Let me ask you, what's the hour difference between here and the Philippines, for example?
Okay, from Chicago, it's 14 hours ahead in the Philippines of you.
And that's 12 ahead of you, right?
No, 16 ahead of me.
Oh, wow.
See, it gets really confusing, Scott, because you would think that I'm earlier than you, so she's earlier than me. The truth is no,
right.
She's the next day already.
So now what about with Africa? What is the time difference like when you were in Africa?
Oh, okay. Africa is...
Remember, I called you at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was
Africa's 9 hours later than me, so 7 hours later than you. But, Scott, you got to look at where the Philippines is, okay? Philippines are located, right off the coast of Vietnam, Japan, Cambodia, China, kind of a really interesting area.
Right.
Look at a globe because it's round. Scotty Jensen still thinks that the world is flat. And he's in denial over the fact that the world is round. He doesn't have proof, okay?
Hey, it's just like the climate change deniers.
Well, Scott, it gets really confusing because you have to see the world as a circle. And then look where the Philippines is, and you'll realize that they're not just off the coast of L.A., okay?
Right.
They're as far as you can go from the Pacific Island that there is, the farthest. L.A. here, where I am, is the farthest east you can go in the Pacific. But the Philippines is the farthest western part and south part. So it gets very confusing. So when I call her, it's 16 hours ahead of me. So right,
man, like if you drilled a hole like through the earth, like right below where you are, would you like come out like near the Philippines and?
Yes. Well, that's why people always said if you drilled a hole in the earth in the United States, you'd come out in China, because that's the opposite. That's what they're saying, and China is right next to the Philippines. And Scott and I, since we're young, have been fascinated with other countries.
China's not doing that, you know.
Well, Scott and I have, since we're young, we've been fascinated by other countries. It wasn't just that we liked the Beatles' music. It was the fact that they came from another country,
right.
England. We were always fascinated, and I got the opportunity to go live in a couple other countries and stuff. And now I may, you know, I'm going to look into Scott. I may stay there in the Philippines because I love the tropical ocean weather. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't know if you'd get along too well with ISIS.
Well, yeah, on the southern...
Remember, they want to eliminate Israel off the world.
Yeah, that's true. Well, they want to eliminate a lot more than Israel.
You wouldn't want to go in there and hang out.
Listen,
you know?
They want to eliminate all Christians too, buddy. They hate Christians
worse than
they hate Jews, okay?
You're right.
Okay, so what Scotty Jensen is talking about in the South Philippines, our show, we want to give you geography. We don't want to just hit you with the same news you hear on every show. What Scotty Jensen is saying, if you look on the Philippines, a map, go all the way to South Philippines Islands, there's a real ISIS, Al-Qaeda presence down there, and he's right.
Yes.
Because if you look on the map, they could just boat in and out of there. I mean, Manila, way north, is the main part of the Philippines. But when you go south, it's pretty vulnerable down there, which is why there's a lot of girls.
Wait, a question. Now, Manila, that's not the opposite of chocolate, is it?
Yeah, it's the opposite of chocolate, Manila. But it's the farther north side of the islands of the Philippines. When you go to the south, you got to look on a map, you'll see.
Yeah.
There is terrorists in it. That's why some of these girls want to get the hell out of there. It's true, and I want to help her.
Can't blame them. Jeez.
Yeah, and I want to help her get out of there if we can keep talking and we get to know each other and we like each other and all. So what I'm thinking of, Scott, is I may go live there because the dollar goes a lot farther in the Philippines, U.S., than it does here.
Right, but they probably wouldn't let you leave the country with it.
With the dollar?
Well, let's just say you brought dollar and you bought stuff over there that you got, you know, 5 times, 20 times more your worth of value, and then you try to take it out of the country. They would probably just say, no, you can't do that.
Well, yeah, if I buy a house there on the beach, you can't take that anyway. I'm just saying,
well,
it's weird. Americans are allowed to go there with no visas and everything, but if somebody wants to leave the Philippines, it's really hard to just take a trip. But Americans, we don't even need a visa. We just go there like Mexico with a passport, and we're in. But, Scott, I was doing some research. I'm going to send it to you. There's a lot of Americans who retire in the Philippines because the Philippines peso, it's called PHP, Philippines peso.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of money for the dollar there. So, you know, you could rent a place and live there for $300 American a month.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay?
Imagine.
And the food is about the same price and all that. So when I go there, I'll see, because if I stay there, then she doesn't have to go through and we don't have to wait 6-8 months for visas and all that kind of stuff. So I told her I can write the songs from wherever, because we don't live next to each other anyway. So as long as I have a telephone line and an internet connection, nothing's going to stop us. Don't worry about it.
But I can imagine the weather, the tropical, that could be definitely inviting.
Well, one of my goals is I've always wanted to own a place right on the beach. I don't care if it's a little cottage, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the beach and the ocean just gets me going. And where I live is not, I'm not near the beach. It's a couple of hours, so I'm more in a deserty, mountainous area. So, Scotty Jensen, I think you might get really excited one day about visiting me in the Philippines, because you talk about coming out here to visit me, but imagine going to the Philippines, like a whole other country, a whole other world. You'd feel like you were just born again. You're like a baby.
Wow, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the FSS come right out again.
So we got to talk about that. We got to think about that because, you know, it may be realistic for me to do that. And then if we do want each other, fall in love and all that stuff, then we could fill out all the visa applications anyway.
Now, of course, you got to clarify that you're talking about the girl in the Philippines, not you and I.
Yeah, right, not you and me. The girl in the Philippines. And so
then
what would happen is I would stay there for, let's say, 6 or 8 months. When the visa was ready, we could decide, do we want to come back here, or I'll just stay there and live there, because I'm never going to sell my house and land that I have here now. So it may turn out to be, in other words,
hey, maybe I move in there for a while. If you move to the Philippines, maybe I'll move in
here. You could use this place anytime you want, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
For nothing, anytime you want to, and it's all set up.
Set up as a separate studio.
Yeah, it's all set up.
In a studio.
And I'm not going to change anything. So you're welcome to come here if you need to get away for a few days, a week, or a month, whatever you want. You could come here. You would actually like it being here alone. You'd probably like it a lot more being alone here than if I was here, really. You know what I mean?
Although I do remember, like we were telling Glenda, when you and I lived together, I think I was, what, 20 years old or something like that? And you had your place in Illinois, and we were living there, and you'd, you know, wake me up in the morning, Jensen, you going to work? You getting up? You know.
You know what's really weird? A lot of people don't believe this, but I bought my first house in Chicago when I was only 18 years old.
Right.
And nobody believed it, you know, and everyone's like, what are you buying a house for? It's like nobody else we knew of to this day bought a house at 18, you know, and I bought it on my own. My parents didn't buy it for me. So I said to Scotty Jensen, hey, why don't you come live up with me? You don't have to pay anything. See what it's like to not live at your parents' place. Well, then he came, and it was good, but it was also kind of weird because we're both so creative and different in our ways that it creates a lot of sparks between us, good and bad.
I actually wrote a few songs at your house, too.
You did? So,
yeah.
Scotty Jensen, you're welcome to come here and use this place anytime when I'm here or not here when I'm in the Philippines. But I'm just saying, the reason I'm telling the story, everybody, I think it's interesting, Scott. I don't want to just talk about me. I usually don't just talk about me. I talk about you. But There's a lot of people out there that either want a friend or a baby or a daughter or a son or a wife or husband. And the people in the Philippines, you know, some of those people don't have a lot of money, and they're living almost like indentured servants and stuff. And so I'm just exposing the story to everybody to say that Scott's helping me make sure that it's all real, that the girl I talked to is real and she knows I'm real, and then I'll go there. But, Scott, I think it's interesting for anybody out there listening, if you're alone, there are things you could do in this world as far as be a foster parent, adopt a child, if a husband or a wife, in other words, you can find places, people all over the world who really need you. And if you haven't felt needed or wanted for a long time, I'm just, you know, want to expose that to other people, Scott, so they might look into it.
You know, I just thought it, you just inspired me. I was just thinking of a new concept, sponsoring another adult.
Yes.
You know, when you fostering, I mean, not sponsoring. I mean, talking about fostering, like you be a foster parent to a child or something like that. Imagine being like a foster husband or
a foster
wife.
Well, a good friend of Scotty Jensen's, just is marrying a girl from the Philippines and her 16-year-old daughter, and I saw on Facebook that he showed a picture.
But he's not marrying her 16-year-old daughter.
He's marrying her mother, but on Facebook he put a thing on there going, I can't believe she's going to be my daughter. He's so excited about not only marrying her mother but having her as a daughter. He's changing the lives of two people.
Actually three, because it's changing his life greatly too.
Okay.
And this is the
he's
most
changing the lives of three people.
Right.
Three people. So that's why we're talking about this, okay? I was getting to a point that I thought, you know, I was in love before, and I really loved her, and she really loved me for many, many, many years. And so I thought, well, I'm getting older now. Maybe I'll never have that again, you know? And it was like, first I tried to accept that, right, Scott?
Right.
But then it was bothering me because I'm older now but still younger in the mind. Anyway, Scott Jensen, just so everyone knows, helped me out a lot with this because he kept saying, well, wait a minute, Scott, maybe there is somebody out there. And that's how we ended up talking about the Philippines, and we were talking about China and all these places. And he said, you know, you want a woman that actually wants to take care of you like a traditional wife kind of thing. You never had that, which is true. And I didn't think I'd be able to find that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
yeah, I mean, some of us, you know, need different things out of another person, you know. And, you know, since you're a very strong person, but yet you're very sensitive, you know, and being very creative, you need somebody that could appreciate those qualities in you and that could help foster that, no pun intended with the word foster, but to bring out the best in you, not to be challenging you and arguing with you and finding fault with your traits. It's to appreciate the traits that you have.
Yeah, and I recognize now when I look back on, you know, girlfriend being married, that I am a difficult person to deal with, and I do see that. And I thought, well, I'm not going to find that because, you know, I'm just not going to find it. Well, then you start talking to people that are so poor that they make literally $4 a day, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she makes $5 a day when she works.
Right.
When she works. And I talked to a nurse who only makes $300 a month at a hospital, neonatal nurse, where here she would make $5,000 a month.
I know.
Make a long story short, everybody. If you're alone and you've come to a conclusion you're never going to find it again, it's a big world today. Use the internet. There's many countries out there, from Russia to – and I'm not talking just for a Girl Scout. If you're a woman and you're looking for a man, there's a lot of men out there that are in a situation too, that they're poor and they don't have a lot of opportunity. And so I didn't think I'd look at doing something like this, but the more I do it, the more I talk about it, the more I see it. And Scotty Jensen, appreciate all the help you've given in that area.
Well, happy to have been there for you. And you were there for me through many times too. So, you know, we kind of go back, but I think that's one of the things that's made us, you know, so close over the years is because we've been through so much with each other. We've had our ups and our downs. We've had our arguments or disagreements, but yet we've always seemed to reconnect and kind of kindle this friendship that we've had and the respect that we have for each other. Because
and you know what's really kind of weird?
You and I both come
the only arguments or getting mad at you I've ever had for 40 years is you not calling me, emailing, or answering the phone or the door or the window when I knock on it. If you really look closely, I can put up with a lot of stuff from anybody.
Right.
The only time I've ever been mad at Scotty Jensen, this is 40 years, is if I knock on his window when I'm 15 and he won't answer. I knock on the door, call him. Today, he may not return my text, my email, my phone call, my cell phone. He might not return my tweet. He might not return my Facebook message. He might not return my Tumblr message. He may not return my Pinterest message. There are so many ways today that Scotty Jensen cannot return my messages. It's made me feel like I was 14 again knocking on your window.
Right.
Because in my mind, and Scotty Jensen, he's a busy guy. You know, he's running around with his daughter and his wife and his life. And, you know, he's always been a busy guy. So he's not one of these guys who calls you back or emails you back right away anyway. But, Scott, what happened to me was with all these different ways to communicate, it blew my mind a little bit because I thought, man, the guy's got 15 ways to communicate me, and he's not calling me back right away on any of them. And
right. That's
the only thing I've ever got upset with you about. Nothing else.
Well, and then the other thing I've noticed, too, I think we've discussed this before, is sometimes you can end up being your own worst enemy because let's just say the situation with me not texting or returning calls. Then you would start thinking really negative. Oh, he's blowing me off. He's not going to talk to me again. He's had enough of me. But then you start, like, going off, and then you figure, well, I'm going to end this before he ends it with me.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And it's like, and all we had to do is communicate and kind of iron it out, say, hey, wait, let's just settle down here. This is really what's happening, you know.
Yeah, Scotty Jensen is right. One negative I've always had my whole life is, Scott calls it, I'm the boy who cried wolf. And then when I cry wolf so many times, you don't know when to believe it.
Well, I'm not sure if I'm following that, but I've always felt that you've always beaten yourself up.
Yes.
You
and the other thing is, Scott and I come from a neighborhood of people that he's still in contact with. I'm not, but he is. That said very negative things about him and about me for our whole lives.
Right.
So we're both ultra sensitive to that. Because sometimes I get confused with what other people would think of me, and I think maybe Scott thinks that of me. And sometimes Scott gets confused because he thinks of what other people think of him, and then he thinks maybe I think of that. And it's a very interesting dynamic between us.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the way it's been.
Now, let's do the Scotty Jensen recap summary of every show, because people email all the time saying, Scott Ross, will you shut up? Stop talking so much. Let Scotty Jensen talk. Scott, you're going to wrap up the last 2 or 3 minutes of the show. I won't say anything. And then we'll end off playing the song. So how do you sum up, you know, today's show or whatever you want to say? This is the Scotty Jensen segment of the show, which is called Scotty Jensen Recaps the Show. Gensongs.net, 818-538-8490. Our direct email, turnkeyselling@gmail.com. Scotty Jensen, go right ahead.
Well, the one thing I could say is you never have a loss for different subject matter on our show and our podcast. So trying to recap, for example, today would be a little on the difficult side because we covered so many territory. But I would say one of the main subjects we're talking about really is friendship and having respect for each other. And there is somebody out there to help you out or to be there for you or somebody that you can help. So that's kind of what we write our songs in that vein as well, to try to better themselves, and we try to encourage people with our songs. Some of our songs could be about emotional, personal things that we've all gone through, or that we've gone through. But the fact is, everyone goes through those. So we've given you our angle on how we've dealt with it and what it means to us, what we've learned from it, what kind of moral of the story, if you will, that you can get out of it. So we encourage you to continue to go to our website at gensongs.net, listen to our free podcast, listen to our free songs that you can listen to for free, and if you like them, you can purchase them. You can hear the whole thing free before you purchase. And this is Scott E. Jensen and Scott I. Ross for gensongs.net. Thank you for listening to our podcast.
I'm not in denial to what you say, not in denial to what you do. I'm not in denial to what you say.